All right, Church, today we're going to look at two people that are interesting here in the book of Joshua right off the bat. And those are Rahab and Achan. And these two are kind of opposites of each other. Okay, Rahab was the harlot who lived in Jericho, and she sold out her people. She sold out her city and everything in exchange for citizenship in God's kingdom. That's what she did. She covered up and protected God's people directly against her people. She chose citizenship, and she chose citizenship with God and not with man, not with how she was raised, not with her culture, not with her community, not with her city. We looked at this several episodes ago, that she was in a position where the lies of the enemy would easily use God's word to deceive her, and yet she's still not even knowing God's word, and being raised in, born and raised in Jericho, in full of sin and everything else, without even getting into her own personal lifestyle, she had to turn against her own culture altogether, entirely, purely on faith, and she did so. The idea of love your neighbor would say, oh, turn in these bad guys, these guys are against us, they're going to attack our city. I should love my neighbor. I should obey my governing authorities. The police are coming looking for these two guys because we know they're part of the army of Israel and they're going to attack us. And so if I want to honor my governing authorities and obey them, then I have to turn these guys in. If I want to love my neighbor, then I have to turn these guys in because they're going to attack me and my neighbors. I need to turn these guys in. That would be the logic that you would follow to do that. And yet she did not. And then she had to tell a lie, too, which that goes against all your natural instincts. But she did all of this in the fear of God, and she said, I fear your God more than I care, more than I love anything else. I fear your God. Can I join you? And they said, sure, go for it. That you have to watch that up, listen to that episode or whatever. That was a week or two ago, looking at Rahab. There's a lot of lessons to learn from her. But she swore off her citizenship. She betrayed. It took an act of treason. There's no way around it. She made an act of treason against her people in order to turn to God. And I would say the kingdom of God has not changed. You may have to commit treason against your own people to serve God. Praise the Lord. I believe I live in a time and place so far where I have not had to make that decision directly. But the decision needs to be made. And Jesus said, if you love your father or mother more than him, you're not worthy of him. So there can be no other loyalties. It's Christ, period. That's it. Rahab got it right. Now, Achan. I want to look at Achan. This little episode today is not like a verse-by-verse into chapter 7 where Achan is discussed primarily. This is just two things that I'm noticing in the book of Joshua that are worth bringing out to your attention. Achan is a guy, he is a citizen of Israel. Okay? He is of the line of Judah. His genealogy traces directly back to Judah through Zerah. Zerah was Judah's son. You remember he was born, he stuck his hand out as he was being born, and they tied a red ribbon around his arm, and he pulled it back in, and he had a twin brother who came out then ahead of him, and then he came out following behind. It's just kind of a bizarre little episode that took place that the Bible records specifically where Zerah was born. And then here, Achan, of course, is a descendant of Zerah. Tribe of Judah, his citizenship in Israel is firmly established, well known, okay? I don't know if he was some sort of princely leader of Israel or whatever, but he had a direct line to Judah that would set him apart. He would have presumably been some degree like a noteworthy sort of citizen. And he's in Israel, and he has crossed the Jordan River, and he is... He's a guy that has seen God's power on display. He lived off of manna in the wilderness. I don't know how old Achan was, if he was born in the wilderness or if he was born in Egypt. And if he was born in Egypt, then he would have crossed the Red Sea. He would have seen the plagues, the Red Sea. He would have seen Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments and God's glory cloud leading them everywhere they went and filling the tabernacle after they dedicated it. I don't know exactly when Achan was born and what all he saw. But I know this, his entire life, he was living in miracles his entire life. Even if he was born in the wilderness after the Red Sea and Mount Sinai, the wilderness was the daily miracle of manna. Every single day, He was living a miraculous life every single day of his life, right up until they crossed the Jordan River. Miraculously, they crossed the Jordan River. Right up until they attacked Jericho, and miraculously, the walls fell down. Achan has literally lived his entire life seeing nothing but miracles. Big miracles, too. Big ones that we still talk about. Achan lived in it. He was a citizen of Israel, living in a miraculous time of Israel with Israel's greatest leader ever, Moses, and maybe their second greatest leader ever, Joshua. All right? Incredible time to live. He lived through it, and he was a citizen there. That guy hit the jackpot with his when he was born. Okay? If he was born in Egypt in slavery, he was the one generation that got out of slavery. Everything about his life was miraculously provided for. An absolutely incredible thing. And here he goes, sees the walls fall down around Jericho, miraculously. Here's Joshua's command. Hey, make sure you don't take any of this for yourself. This all belongs to God, either total destruction or the temple of God, depending, whatever. If it's good for the tabernacle, then we'll keep it in tabernacle. If it's not good for tabernacle, it's burned. That's it, period. Don't take any of it. And he took some of it, okay? That's what happened. So we got Rahab, born and raised in Jericho, seen in nothing but sin and debauchery her entire life, because that's what Jericho was. Jericho was ripe for judgment. That's why God sent Israel there, to judge them. Jericho was not just a happy-go-lucky, innocent city there that Israel just randomly decided to attack. It was God's judgment on Jericho that they needed to be destroyed, and he said so repeatedly. So Rahab was born and raised in a totally sinful city. Think of this the same as you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, or the way you think of the time of Noah leading up to the flood. God always waits until there's only one righteous one left. He is so slow to anger and so patient that he will wait. He will wait it out. And Rahab is not, it says she's a harlot. Now, there is possible that that might only mean she was a hotel, she owned a hotel and she's a woman. It's possible, but chances are she's a harlot. Like, and that's what the word means. And that's presumably that's what it is. So she's not exactly a righteous person. And even if she's not a harlot, even if really the word just translates as a woman who owns a hotel, a female innkeeper or whatever, even if that's what it means, she's born and raised in Jericho. She's not a righteous person. She is not a great grandson of Judah like Achan was. Okay? She is a harlot living in Jericho. And she joined the kingdom of God. And Achan, who is in the kingdom of God, joined the kingdom of Jericho as it was dying. That's the trade they both made. Think about that for a bit. Think about what it would mean. Achan found 200 shekels of silver, a bar of silver, a 50 shekels of gold, and some sort of article of clothing from Shinar, which would have been Babylon. And he sold it. He sold his life. He sold his family's life. He sold his inheritance in the kingdom of God for money. Quite a bit of money, a lot of money, by middle class standards, but money is not really, you know, in heaven the streets are made of gold, so I have a hunch that it's probably a lot more than 50 shekels of gold, laying around the roads of heaven, right? A shekel, think of it as an ounce, more or less. 50 ounces of gold would be worth a lot of cash money in modern-day America, especially with inflation. But it is nothing compared to eternity with the Lord. It is nothing compared to the inheritance of God's kingdom. And Achan sold it. Achan sold it. He said, I want to go into this land under God's power, but I want to live here in the wealth of man, the wealth that Jericho earned. I want to salvage some for me. Doesn't belong to me. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to bury it in my tent. Tell my family not to tell anybody it was there. He traded it. He traded it all. And he not only did he trade it all, he traded it all literally as the walls were falling down around Jericho. He saw this is what comes of Jericho. The things of Jericho are destroyed. The things of Jericho are under God's judgment. And I want them in my house. Are you kidding me? Didn't even have a house. The guy had a tent. Tent's not going to hold back God's judgment. If the walls of Jericho can't hold it back, his tent won't stand a chance, right? So think about you. Where's your citizenship? Achan's a citizen of Israel, of God's kingdom, by birthright. But his citizenship of his mind, of his mindset of how he wants to live his life, his citizenship is in Jericho. He sees Jericho and he likes that stuff. He wants that stuff. Doesn't want to give that to God. I don't want to be God's people. I want to be my people. I want my money, my stuff. Victor gets the spoils. I'm the victor. You just saw God do it? Nah, no, it wasn't God. It was me. I get to keep it. No, he's robbing God. He has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He's destroyed. Rahab took every risk possible to join the kingdom of God. She put her life on the line. She put her life into the hands of these enemies that everybody knows are going to come destroy Jericho. And she put her life into their hands. And they did the right thing. And she joined Israel. And she's part of Israel. She gave up her citizenship in one place and gained greater citizenship in a greater place. All right. Achan did the opposite. And that little red ribbon that, remember I said about Zerah, the Judah's son being born, and they tied a red ribbon around his wrist. It's just a really fascinating thing. There's a little red thread there. And then Rahab has to tie one outside her window to identify that's the house that we're not going to destroy. The one house on the wall that doesn't fall flat. We're going to go rescue those guys. Red thread. And so the boy born with the red thread tied to his hand, Zerah, trades it in, and the harlot strings all of her hope on that red thread to get out of here and join Israel, and they trade places. They trade places on different sides of that wall. And Jericho is a heap of ruins, and then they erect a heap of stones over top of Achan, and so there are two monuments left when it's all said and done, and they are both monuments of total destruction. Remember, Jericho was burned and Achan was burned. And they pile up rocks over top of him that's there till this day in the Valley of Achor. And everything of Jericho is going to be destroyed. And if you got it in your house, you're going to be destroyed too. And you're going to be buried under a pile of burnt rocks the same as Jericho was. And Achan chose that. He got what he chose. All right. In your personal life, your citizenship is with the Lord. Your citizenship is in heaven. Okay. Your life right now is on planet Earth, in modern-day United States. That's where I'm sitting anyway. What's in your house that belongs to the kingdom of heaven, and what's in your house that belongs to the kingdom of man? Get the stuff that belongs to the kingdom of man out of your house. Stop having Jericho in your house. Stop doing it. Make like Rahab and say, I'm going to hide in my house, the kingdom of God. She's covering up in her house. Remember these two spies? She has to cover them up and protect them from the inspectors that are going to come looking. And she does. Well, Achan, meanwhile, is covering up Jericho in his tent from the inspectors that are going to come looking. Total opposite people here. Rahab looks, by all purposes, she's from Jericho. She lives on the wall of Jericho. She's a harlot. If anybody needs judgment, it's her. But she's humbled herself, she has the fear of God, and she turns. And she puts her life on the line to join God's kingdom, and boom, she's in. And Achan, who has a miraculous life from start to finish, Achan trades it all in for some money that he does not get to keep, and he winds up buried under rocks and rubble, charred corpse, burnt up, just like everything else in Jericho. He got what he chose, and Rahab got what she chose. The descendant of Zerah through Judah traded in his red ribbon of citizenship to the other woman who had no claim on citizenship at all. But she trusted and feared God, and she entrusted herself to God's people. And Achan did the opposite. All right, so choose your citizenship. Make a choice. Make a choice for what you hide in your house. What's hidden in your heart? What's hidden in your mind? What is your thoughts going to day and night, meditating on God's word? Every word coming out your mouth, careful to obey all he's commanded? Or are you just living in the tents of Israel, looking like a citizen of Israel, but your heart and mind and the secret stuff of your home really all just belong to Jericho? Because you're going to wind up in one place or another, either burnt under a heap of rocks like Jericho as a monument of what not to do, or kingdom of God, right? Choose the kingdom of God. And by choosing the kingdom of God, you're going to have to choose to get rid of the kingdom of Jericho. All right, I hope that makes sense. God bless you. We'll continue moving forward here in Joshua chapter 8 here later. Talk to you then. Bye.